Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good afternoon and welcome. We are back for the second week in a row after Christmas. I'm in the process of trying to do a show every week of this year, trying to get things built up, trying to get more people to do shows on our network. And we have been working hard at trying to get more stuff. Today I was looking at the news, and one of the things that caught my attention was that during a September interview on CBS News 60 Minutes with host Scott Pelley, President Joe Biden was asked what he thought to himself when he saw the photo of top secret documents laid out on the office floor at Mar-a-Lago. He said this, quote, "Now, that could possibly happen. How could anyone be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that, I mean names of people who helped, et cetera, et cetera. It was just totally irresponsible." Now, that was Biden in September. How can anyone be that irresponsible? In January, classified documents from Biden's time as vice president were discovered in his private office and several other places, too. It's amazing. They're doing everything they can to cover this up for him.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it said that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought he should have punched him in the face. So even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? So I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's amazing how people try to frame everything racially, and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to hour number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. Through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, you're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
we are back. Needless to say, given the explosive report on Monday night from CBS News that classified documents from Biden's vice presidency had been found inside a closet in an office at Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C., that he had used after leaving office, Biden's reply to Pelley has obviously aged terribly. Now, here's the problem with everything that was going on here. The places that they have found stuff, classified stuff that was in Biden's possession, was taken while he was vice president and kept during the whole Trump presidency and through the first years of his presidency, and nothing was said until the media got wind of it. Now, if the media hadn't gotten wind of it, we still wouldn't know anything about it. But he's saying this isn't as bad as Trump having them. Well, first off, when Trump took them, he was still president. He had every right to take them. As president, he had, even after being president, he could, in fact, declassify these things. Biden could not. Now, he could as president, but at Mar-a-Lago, everything there had Secret Service around them. Secret Service was everywhere on Mar-a-Lago. At these places where this stuff has been found in possession of Biden, there are none. That makes it worse. But now Jim Jordan turns up the heat on Joe Biden. Judiciary Committee announces another investigation into Biden's classified doc scandal. This is a good thing. The problem is that the Democrats all think that all they have to do is say, oh, I didn't know it was there, and everything's hunky-dory, everything's fine. If Trump or you or I or any Republican or Pence or anyone else on the Republican side had said the same thing, they'd have said, no, that doesn't count. It only counts to them when it goes against a Democrat. And I've already got a phone call. Hello, you there? Hello? Okay, I guess not. I will put it back on hold. I guess it's somebody who wants to just listen. But when we watch KJP today on her presser that she did, she gave Peter Ducey a death stare when he repeats Biden's question to Trump at the White House press briefing on Wednesday. Fox News' Peter Ducey, who has become a perpetual thorn in the press secretary Karine Jean-Pierre's side, asked her to comment on Biden's unfortunate words to Pelley. How could anyone be that irresponsible, Ducey asked, echoing Biden's words. And then the question always comes up, should Biden be prosecuted for the classified document scandal? Sure, they did it to Trump. If you don't want a double standard, sure, do it. But the look of contempt on Jean-Pierre's face was palpable as she responded to Ducey. She responded by saying, quote, the president spoke to this personally. Again, he believes that classified documents and information should be taken seriously. He takes them seriously. Of course he does now that he's been caught. What is most amusing about Jean-Pierre's interaction with Ducey is how visibly her demeanor changed from her earlier exchanges with the reporters on the same subject. Ducey was the only one who got the death stare. Ducey's full discussion with Jean-Pierre can be viewed on Western Journal, and they have the video there, and his full discussion with Jean-Pierre can be viewed at the 39-minute mark in the video that is there. But multiple reporters questioned Jean-Pierre about the fact that the documents were first discovered by Biden's lawyers on November 2nd. This was before the election, folks. If he'd have been a Republican, the press would have had it out there the day before the election. And this was just days ahead of the midterm elections, but were only being disclosed now. She referred those questions to the White House counsel's office. But Biden had to go and say those things in September, and then it comes back to bite him on the butt, and they're scrambling to save his butt on this. And the funny part about it is it goes all the way down to The View. The View had to scramble and search for things to save Biden's butt from on this very thing. And I'm looking for that in my stack of stuff right now. Yeah, watch this. This is from The View. It says, hosts of View desperately try to cope with Biden's classified file blunder. The leftist host of The View shared a rather crazy and humorous moment the other day while trying to explain away President Joe Biden's classified documents headache. The segment was meant to cover the recent revelation that classified documents from Biden's time as vice president were kept in a Washington, D.C. office used by Biden after he left office. Naturally, this has left Biden and the Democrats in an awkward situation. Last summer, the FBI raided former President Donald Trump's Florida's home residence, claiming that he had taken classified documents from the White House when he left the office in 2021. The problem is that a president, when he leaves, has a certain amount of time that he can has a certain amount of time that he can get documents back to the White House. And Trump was in the process of going through these things at the time that the raid happened. He still had the time to do it, but they went ahead and jumped their gun. Now Biden is facing the same allegations that he pushed against his predecessor, and it is causing massive problems for him and his political allies. But don't worry, the ladies on The View are here to reassure us that everything is fine and that what Biden did was not as bad as what Trump did because Biden is a good person and Trump is not. this is one of the things that happened in there. It says, according to host Joy Behar, and this is a quote, we all know that Trump is a liar and a thief. We all know that. So it's not a big jump to say that he obstructed and he lied. We don't think Biden is a liar and a thief, so we give him credit, benefit of the doubt. Unquote. Really? That's how this country works, folks. But basically, the argument Behar is using is that Trump is a bad person, and therefore what he did was wrong. But Biden, whom she supports, gets caught doing the same thing, and it's okay because he is a good person. And this has gone on for so long now, folks, that they have no qualms about pushing this nonsense down the throats of the people on national television. As a reminder, this was the same show that had Hillary Clinton on as a guest last year to talk about how dangerous it was that Trump took classified documents from the White House. But now, suddenly, it's okay to take classified material as long as you're a, quote, good person, unquote. This is clearly a ridiculous assertion. If it is wrong for one politician to do something because it endangers national security, then it is wrong for any politician to do it regardless of their political leanings. Do you think Biden intentionally kept the files? I don't know. But he kept them nonetheless. I don't think that Trump intentionally kept files. And on top of that, a top Democrat is now saying that Biden did nothing wrong because all this was planted. Oh, yeah, right. But during his presidency, leftists condemned anything Trump did, but are now quick to excuse the same things under Biden. They wailed that Trump's rhetoric was divisive and dangerous, but said nothing when Biden delivered speeches demonizing his political opponents as threats to our republic. They complained about Trump's trips to the golf course, but stayed silent as Biden racked up even more vacation days. They called Trump a racist for wanting to halt travel from China at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, but were quiet when Biden put restrictions on Chinese to travel to the U.S. Now, as Biden is accused of the same infraction that supposedly justified an FBI raid of Trump's home, the left is proving once again that it is not about policy or character. It is purely about politics and power. And the one thing that we can absolutely be assured of here, folks, is that there will never be a raid on Biden's homes or any of the places that he had classified documents in without Secret Service around. There is the double standard in this nation, folks. We always hear this stuff about EVs and the things that go wrong with them and what can happen and what has happened. We've heard of fires in electric vehicles that are just sitting with nobody even in them. And they're hard to put out. But this one that I found today is a man tries towing 10,000-pound trailer with EV truck in the wintertime and goes only 100 miles, but it gets worse. Electric vehicles underperform gas-powered cars in numerous ways, but disparity becomes even starker when you have to haul a trailer in cold weather. And folks, with seasons, you're going to have cold weather. EV fan Zach Nelson, who runs a tech-centric YouTube channel, Jerry Rig Everything, chronicled his disastrous experience towing his 10,000-pound electric Hummer in 34-degree weather using his Rivian RIT electric truck. Rivian is a struggling EV company backed by Amazon and Ford. Nelson discovered he was able to drive only 100 miles on a single charge while having his Hummer in cold weather, hauling his Hummer in cold weather. That's less than one-third of the Rivian's 314-mile EPA range. After his electric truck petered out, though, Nelson encountered numerous problems recharging it. When he got to the first station, all the chargers were taken. Nelson then drove to another station and was frustrated to learn that it was the slowest charger in the world. At one point, the YouTuber noticed that his range meter was broken because it was providing inaccurate data. You've been here about, 15, 20 minutes now, and I pulled in on 0 miles left, he said. It's charged 0 miles, but it says it's added 600, which is kind of embarrassing because it never goes that high. Nelson continued, either way, it says it'll be done charging in about 24 hours. So I'm going to be here a while. There is a faster charger up the road, but I would not be able to make it to it. After charging his Rivian for 45 minutes, he learned that he had added only 10 miles of range to it. This is something that would not happen if with a truck powered by an internal combustion engine. Could you imagine sitting at a gas station for 45 minutes to fill up your car only to discover that your tank was still mostly empty? In addition to their limited towing capacity, electric trucks perform poorly in cold weather. We all knew this. Batteries do this. The driving range of EVs plunges 20 to 50% because their batteries slow down as the temperature drops or when there are heavy winds. So if you live in a part of the country where the winters are cold and windy, you'd constantly have to recharge your electric car just to keep it from dying on you, and it probably still would. The mountain of problems associated with EVs also include spontaneous battery fires, which I talked about earlier, and an outsized environmental impact on their manufacturing process. Lithium-ion batteries used to power electric cars are a safety hazard. Even when the cars are not in use, because they generate a lot of heat and can spontaneously combust, the safety implications are the fact these batteries get hot. H. Sterling Burnett of the Heartland Institute told CBN News last month. They get hot when they are stored, not just because they're charging, just when they're sitting there stored. They combust. Left-wing activists claim EVs are better for the environment because they supposedly generate zero carbon emissions. In reality, their environmental impact is enormous. Physicist Mark Millis, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, told CBN that miners use heavy machines that burn diesel oil to dig up to 500,000 pounds of earth just to make a single 1,000-pound EV battery. So when the electric vehicle is delivered to your driveway, it's already arriving with massive emissions of carbon dioxide that you eventually pay off. He said, it's kind of like an inverse mortgage by driving that instead of an internal combustion engine. To manufacture each EV battery, you must get 25,000 pounds of brine for the lithium, 30,000 pounds of ore for the cobalt, 5,000 pounds of ore for the nickel, 25,000 pounds of ore for the copper, digging up 500,000 pounds of Earth's crust just for one battery. When you factor in everything from the high prices of electric vehicles to the environmental damage caused by their manufacturing process to their frequent recharging headaches, it's no wonder that some Americans are hesitant to jump on this bandwagon. President Joe Biden has openly stated that he wants to destroy the U.S. oil industry in order to advance green energy programs because they supposedly combat climate change. They don't. When President Donald Trump asks Joe Biden if he would close down the oil industry, Biden responds, yes. Biden would eliminate 19 million jobs, and they say that unemployment's at 3.5%? Nowhere near that low. However, transitioning 332 million Americans from fossil fuels to so-called green energy will be inconvenient and expensive, and it isn't even guaranteed to be better for the environment. And it isn't going to be better for the environment. The environment is going to get worse. Where do we get most of our electricity from anyway? Coal-fired plants. There's emissions there. When you charge a battery, it puts out an emission when it's charging. Why do you think they have most of them have vents in them? So they can get rid of the emissions that are in it. Folks, this whole idea that having an electric vehicle is going to make you the savior of the world is nothing of the sort. You're actually doing more damage to this, to our environment with an electric vehicle than you are with a combustion engine. Since the 1970s, folks, combustion engines have been improved about 90 to 95% when it comes to emissions. They're no longer the dinosaurs spewing out huge amounts of smoke and everything, because that has been improved. Back in the 70s, you never saw LA with blue skies. Now you do. That shows right there that the environment has been improved. But your climate alarmist people don't see it this way. They just see that we have got 10 years left and that's all. Well, they've been saying that since the 1920s. Every 10 or so years, they come up with, we only got about 10 years left before the world is destroyed. Now we're 100 years later, and we're still going. The air is still clean enough to breathe. Nothing's worse than it was before. But they still keep pushing this global warming crap on us. They still keep pushing all of this stuff about electric cars being better for the environment, when in fact they are not. Electric cars may be good in the future once all of these problems have been fixed and gotten rid of. The thing to do now would be to fund the gas and oil industry. Make sure that we have the cars that we need that are working today. Then put scientists and people in the private sector working on electric cars to get those bugs out of them, to get things working so that they are every bit as safe and good for the environment as the combustion engine is. But they don't want to do this because it won't happen fast enough. They don't want to do this because it won't happen now. So the government is pushing and giving people incentives by giving them money, $7,500, to buy a $65,000 vehicle. $7,500 is nothing compared to $65,000. And when you buy a $65,000 vehicle, it's almost like, hell, the home that I bought in Indiana, that was only $75,000. And now they want me to pay just about as much for a vehicle? They can screw themselves. That won't be happening. I swear, folks, this government that we have right now is going to kill us. It's going to destroy this nation. And we have to start realizing this, because if we don't, things are going to get much, much worse while they tell us that we're doing the right thing. And I will tell you right now, buying an electric vehicle is not, and let me repeat that, is not the right thing. Maybe in the future, once all of the problems have been fixed, but until then, the best way to go is a Ford or Chevy or Dodge, regular gas-burning engine. Because right now, from everything that I've heard, my 2003 Mustang GT with a 4.6 V8 in it that burns gasoline is cleaner on the environment than these electric vehicles are. And I will not buy an electric vehicle until they fix the problems that are inherent in them.
I will remain as long as you do to bring you the news of the day. We will be right back. Black by Color Only Day here on CNN with our very own Vincent Brown out of Durham, North Carolina. Black by Color Only is one of the most informative shows on CNN, giving us the reasons that the apostles of blackness are leading this nation in the wrong direction, along with the left. And Vincent will come down on the right, too, when they do not do what is right. Listen to the wisdom of Vincent Brown on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will find out that the media is lying to us, too, along with the leftists in our government. Some of the rights are, too, and in Hollywood also. He will make you use your mind and think a bit before making a rash judgment. That is Black by Color Only, only on CNN at 5 p.m. Eastern on Saturdays, where America always wins. If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNN is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017 at gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNN is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNN, and see what happens then, where America always wins. From the executive branch and from the Epoch Times, House Republicans demand list of names linked to Biden documents. And we all wondered what would happen. Now, all of this stuff that's going on right now is all because of what happened a week or so ago when the House was kind of gridlocked and trying to find a new speaker, where we had 20 Republicans and 21 Republicans saying, no, we don't want Kevin McCarthy. This is the good part about what happened then. Kevin McCarthy knows damn good and well right now that he must do the right things. And he is. He is pushing things that the Democrats do not like, and he doesn't care because he has got his eye on the ball. He knows what he must do in order to keep the speakership. And that is, do what his constituents want. Do what is supposed to be done. Don't follow the lobbyists and the lobbies who are paying to make sure that they get their way. They are not your constituents, but that's what politicians do. This has taken that one right out of the ballpark, and good things are happening right now because of it. And one of the things is that now the House Republicans are demanding a list of names linked to the Biden documents. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, Republican in Kentucky, requested a range of documents,
and other materials from the White House after it was revealed that classified documents were found at President Joe Biden's office and Delaware home, triggering a special counsel investigation. This would not have happened if McCarthy had just been made Speaker of the House with no problems at all. And that is one of the reasons that this whole thing happened. And that is the reason why it was so good, because now he's following what he needs to do, and so is the House, because they see what can happen if people get involved. The Democrats never did. Democrats don't care. They just push what they want. They just push what their lobby people want. They just push what they want. To hell with the Constitution, to hell with the people. And that's pretty much what McCarthy was doing before. He's not now, because he just got the scare of his lifetime. He wants to be Speaker of the House. But it took a lot to get him to be. Just a second. Okay, I am back. But in the newsletter issued to the White House, Counsel Stuart Delry on Friday, Comer noted that his committee recently initiated an investigation into Biden's possession of classified materials that said that more documents are needed by January 27th. That includes all classified documents that were recently obtained by Biden's lawyers or at any location, according to the letter. Comer's letter also sought a complete list of Biden's sides and lawyers who are tasked to look through Biden's documents, a list of locations where the documents were found, and communications and documents that were sent between the Department of Justice and the White House or the National Archives. The latest House oversight letter was triggered after a second batch of documents were found by Biden's aides and lawyers inside rooms of his Delaware residence. Classified materials were also found at his Washington office. That's three places, folks. Comer's letter also sought to complete a list of Biden's aides and lawyers who were tasked to look through Biden's documents. And I just read that, I think. Yeah. The latest House oversight letter was triggered after a second batch of documents were found by Biden's aides and lawyers. We quote, the House of Republicans wrote, quote, we have documents revealing this address appeared on Hunter's driver's license as recently as 2018. The same time he was cutting deals with foreign adversaries. And this, of course, is referring to Biden's son, Hunter. The nexus between the transe of documents and Hunter Biden is notable, as the GOP has long sought to investigate connections between President and his son's controversial business ventures in China and Ukraine. Before Republicans took control of the House, Comer and other Republicans announced they want to make investigating the Biden's business dealings a priority. This also includes how Twitter officials in the lead-up to the 2020 presidential elections worked to suppress a story that shed light on the younger Biden's laptop and messages between he and others that made reference to his father as the big guy amid dealings with a Chinese conglomerate. Recent files released at the behest of new Twitter owner Elon Musk revealed that a former FBI official who used to work at Twitter, named James Baker, suggested in an email to other Twitter managers that a New York Post report about Hunter's business ties should remain blocked, while inaccurately suggesting it was disinformation. There is that whole thing about disinformation again. It's all about the what the Democrats want, what the Democrats need, what the Democrats have to do to cause the people not to follow what they are doing. We have so much going on right now that the Democrats have caused, and for that matter, have gotten away with, that it just boggles the mind. There is no Republican that can get away with the number of things that Biden has gotten away with since he became vice president, or even since he became president. Fraudulently, by the way. Any Republican had done half of what Biden has gotten away with since he's been president, they'd have been gone by now. There'd have been no way they'd still be in government. But because it's Biden, they're covering for him every which way they can, every which way they have to. And Jean-Pierre is doing pressers, telling everybody, it's all okay. It's all okay. Nothing's going on here. Nothing to see. When she is lying through her freaking teeth about everything. In response, Biden's White House legal counsel said Republicans were engaging in a politically motivated attempt to discredit the president. They don't have to. He's doing that all by himself. They said that, in part, some Republicans are trying to garner media attention to bolster their national profiles. I don't even think the national profiles are even being considered at this point by the Republicans. Ian Sams, a spokesman for the White House Counsel's office, said in a statement to news outlets earlier this week, quote, in their first week as governing majority, House Republicans have not taken any meaningful action to address inflation and lower Americans' costs, yet they're jumping out of the gate with political stunts driven by the most extreme MAGA members of their caucus in an effort to get attention on Fox News. There it is. They're admitting that inflation is a problem. But who caused this inflation? Biden, Harris, Pelosi, Schumer. Need I go any farther? They're the ones who caused all of this inflation. Now they're trying to cover their butts for what they caused by blaming the Republicans for something that they're trying to do to push the truth. Why? Because the Democrats are scared to death of the truth getting out. They don't want the truth getting out. They don't want the truth out there. Unless, of course, it helps them, which, as it goes right now, it never does, because they are not following the laws of this country. Biden last week finally did go down to the border. And it was a joke, to say the least. The Democrats are all saying, yeah, he went down to the border. And they're saying this now because if he runs for the president again and this gets brought up, they'll say, oh, he was there. Yeah, he was there on his way to Mexico, but he had to stop because flying over would be a bad thing because of everything that's been said about it. So he went there. But before he got there, his people came in and sanitized the whole area, got rid of the people who were on the streets, got rid of the people who were living on the streets, got rid of the illegals, sent them back, got them out of the way, cleared up the messes, cleared up all of the junk and the trash from the streets so it looked clean. Now, if he was really going down there to really fix a problem that we've got, and I live in the Southwest, I know about this problem. We have it here in Albuquerque. But if he really wanted to fix this problem, he'd have gone down there with the mess in place so he could actually see what was going on. not clean it up so that he gets a op-ed, a photo op, so to speak, to show that, yeah, I was down there, but there's nothing wrong here. See how nice and clean the streets are? Biden, my friends, is a fucking coward, and I'm sorry about using that word, but that's exactly what he is. He is a coward. He cannot stand the truth. He cannot utter the truth. And when the truth is almost ready to stare him in the face, he gets rid of it so he doesn't have to deal with it. And that's what they did down in El Paso when he went down there. They sanitized the whole area, got rid of all of the troubles, got rid of all the people. Once they were gone, they were allowed back in. The cleaned up area is probably now just as messy and just as dirty and just unsanitary as it was before he arrived. And when he leaves Mexico, he'll fly over so they don't have to clean it up again. Sanitizing a problem for an official's visit is not the way to fix the problem, my friends. But that's how Biden works. But back to the story I was on. On Thursday, Attorney General Merrick Garland said he appointed a special counsel to investigate whether Biden mishandled classified documents when he was vice president. Robert Hur, who was appointed by Trump as U.S. attorney for Maryland, was named as a special counsel. This kind of surprises me. But they probably paid him off in some way, shape, or form. I don't know. We'll have to find out. Garland announced, quote, "I strongly believe that the normal processes of this department can handle all investigations with integrity. But under the regulations, the extraordinary circumstances here require that the appointment of a special counsel for this matter. This appointment underscores for the public the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters and to making decisions indisputably guided only by the facts and the law," unquote. Following Garland's announcement, White House lawyer Richard Sauber said the administration is, quote, confident, unquote, that those documents were inadvertently misplaced and would show there was no malfeasance. That is a joke, folks. That is a freaking joke. Just like Biden's trip to the border so that he could show the world that, oh yeah, I was in El Paso. I was there. But did he see the problem? No. Why? Because his team sanitized it. This administration is a freaking joke, my friends. And until we start realizing what a joke this administration is, not just the people, because most of the people know this already, but the media too. Once the media falls in line and starts realizing the truth of what the Biden administration has done to this country, then maybe things will get better. But as long as we have idiots like Whoopi Goldberg at The View and all of those so-called gals at The View telling us that the reason why there's nothing wrong with what Biden did is because he's a good man, and what Trump did, which was exactly the same thing except that Trump had the authority to do it when he did it and kept Secret Service guarding it at all times. Biden didn't. But the reason why Trump doing that was bad is because Trump is a liar and a cheat, and we can automatically assume that he did it. Biden is a good man, and we can't blame him for anything. Once this kind of thinking goes away and is not allowed to speak on national television anymore and speak as the truth when it is not, then things will get better. But until then, I'm sorry, folks, it won't. And that is where we're having our problems today. This one's from China, folks. 9 nationally acclaimed Chinese medical experts die amidst the latest wave of COVID-19 infections. Now, I thought that Biden said that COVID-19 was gone. It was already over with. There was no pandemic anymore. It's hitting China hard. And I can tell you one of the reasons why it is. You show a picture of Chinese people walking down the streets, and 9 times out of 10, almost everybody you see has a mask on. And I've talked and railed against masks and what they do to the human body ever since we started having to deal with them here in New Mexico and across our nation. Here in Albuquerque, 1 mile above the ocean, the air is thinner. When you're breathing, just regular breathing, you're getting maybe 74% oxygen. You need 65 to keep from really start feeling woozy and maybe passing out. But at 74%, you put on a mask and you're kicking that down maybe 20, 15, 20%. Your body is not getting enough oxygen. Plus the fact you're breathing out into the mask, and then when you breathe back in, you're breathing back in through the mask, which breathes everything you breathed out, which is supposed to be waste, and go into the air, is going into the mask to be breathed right back in again. You're going to make yourself sick. You're going to make yourself pass out. You're going to give yourself problems. You're going to make yourself more susceptible to catching something. And if COVID's around, there you go. A year ago, I got kicked off of YouTube. I can't even access YouTube anymore. I've tried to do new accounts. I've tried to put new accounts there using different email addresses. I've got about 3, including a brand new one, which I have tried. And somehow YouTube always finds out that it's me, and I get kicked off again, and I cannot get back on there. I've ceased trying now, as I'm doing my updates, and I used to put them on YouTube. I enjoyed it, putting it on YouTube, because then I could just take it from YouTube, drop it back onto my computer as an MP3, and then I'd have it. Since then, I figured out how to make them MP3s before I even do anything. But I'm putting them on Rumble, BitChute, Brightian, and the newest one is UGETube. UGE. And that is a YouTube type thing that doesn't punish you for your point of view. As is Rumble. And I've been doing my best to start doing better daily updates now than I was before. I'll get back to this story about the acclaimed Chinese medical experts dying, but I will get back to that because this is important too. We have been allowing the government, and before Elon Musk, Twitter, and the big three, and places like Facebook and YouTube, to dictate our lives into doing exactly what they want. And when we don't do what they want, then we get kicked off the program. It's like I said, I cannot get onto YouTube anymore. I have problems even seeing a video that's on YouTube without it saying, you're not signed in, sign in. Well, I can't. I've tried to make 5 new profiles for myself on YouTube. None of them work because every one of them have been clumped into my first one and deleted. And when I do an update, I make sure that what I say is true. I don't do what the left does and make something up and then push it off as the truth. I research, I vet, I look, I find out what is the truth, and then I say it. YouTube kicked me off for telling the truth, essentially. And that is something that we here at CNM will do our best to always do, and that is tell the truth. Find something out. Research it. Vet it. Try to see what is actually the truth on this whole thing. So putting together a show is not an easy thing if you want the truth to be told. Because you have to search. You have to look. You have to research. You have to find out what is really being told. What is really the truth? What is really the lie? And everything I've been able to find out lately is that Democrats right now are all lying. A few of them are starting to come around. A few of them are pushing back against the establishment and saying, now, wait a minute here. This is not right. This isn't what is really happening. You guys are lying. And they're actually starting to buck the system in Congress, which is really a neat thing to see. I really enjoy this. I really do. And we have to start enjoying this kind of thing, folks, because it does not happen often. At least it hasn't happened often. And because it hasn't happened often, this is something that we really need to relish. Our Constitution right at the moment is winning. The Democrats and their socialist ideals and their communist ideals for what they want for the United States is not. And they've been almost full steam ahead, full bore ahead since Reagan left office, with a few people coming in that actually kind of put a stop to it. And when it comes to Trump, no matter what you think of him, he put a complete stop to it, because what the Democrats did then was they had to go into complete attack mode, make up stories, push those stories as the truth, push investigations into Trump on P-gate and Water and Russiagate and all of the stuff that they made up and has since been proven not true. Now they're running for their lives because the new Congress is starting to push back. There's been talk of investigations into all the people who did this to Trump with no proof at all. Adam Schiff has been named. Joe Biden has been named. Harris has been named. Waters has been named. AOC has been named. This is going to get interesting, folks. And we will be right back. We will be right back with more of NWCR's Truth Festival. Stay tuned.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless. Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
Please don't do anything you will never live to regret.
Angry blowback for the downing of Ukrainian passenger jet gathering momentum in Tehran.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. This is Kathy Hanner's A Daily Roll Call, and we need more voices like Robert who aren't afraid of the wrath of the left, even when the truth is told and it doesn't fit their agenda. Now, with Biden in charge, this is more imperative than ever. From New Mexico in CNN's Freedom Studio comes the second hour of the show. And now, here again is Robert.
Okay, we are back with the second hour of the show, and towards the end of the first hour, I started a story from the Epoch Times about 9 nationally acclaimed Chinese medical experts die amidst the latest wave of COVID-19 infections, and I'll start the story again. From December 5th, 2022 to January 8th, 2023, 9 prominent Chinese traditional medicine experts passed away in China, 8 of whom were members of the Chinese Communist Party. The World Health Organization criticized Beijing for heavily underreporting deaths from COVID-19. Chinese authorities announced just 37 COVID-related deaths since last month, even when foreign journalists witnessed overcrowded hospitals and satellite images showed long lines outside crematoriums and funeral homes in major Chinese cities. The growing number of public figures and celebrities who recently passed away has also become an indicator of the country's actual death toll. All these nine traditional Chinese medicine experts who recently passed away were among the top in the medical field. Wei Baihai, who passed away on December 26, 2022, was the former director of the Beijing Institute of Traditional Chinese Medicine and one of the main promoters of the CPP's so-called integration of traditional Chinese and Western medicine. As a top expert, he regularly received special government allowance from the state council. Sun Dawu, who passed away on December 19, 2022, was honored as the leading authority in bone injury treatment. Lei Yefu, who passed away on January 3rd, held the title of the leading authority of TCM massage therapy in China. Zhu Fusun, who passed away on December 5th, was one of the founders of the modern TCM andrology. Shi Zhang Xiaomo, those names are rather hard for me, director of Beijing Tang Clinic, died in Beijing on December 20th, 2022, at the age of 78. Tong Ren Tang is a household name for Chinese people worldwide. The Tong Ren Tang firm operates thousands of retail shops and clinics across China. It also has a significant presence overseas, including in Singapore. Xi dedicated his life to doing in-depth research into the integration of traditional Chinese and Western medicine and the dialectical treatment, according to the Chinese media mouthpiece Youth Daily. Only Sun's eulogy mentioned that he passed away from COVID-19. The other eight obituaries did not mention a specific cause of death, most of which used the vague expression, died of illness. CPP's destruction of traditional Chinese medicine goes on this one. It says, author Zhen Dao penned an article in the Chinese language Epoch Times in 2019 on the topic of traditional Chinese medicine, in which he pointed out that TCM originates from a divinely imparted culture and is in line with the Tao. China has a glorious 5,000-year-old divine culture, of which traditional Chinese medicine is one of the gems. But because the Chinese Communist Party is ideologically at odds with traditional Chinese culture, traditional Chinese medicine has nearly fallen into oblivion under its rule, unquote. And that's what he said. According to Zhen, the destruction of TCM by the Chinese regime has taken the form of altering Chinese medicine by imposing Communist Party culture and Western medicine into Chinese medicine, causing TCM to alter beyond recognition. Some courses taught in TCM colleges in mainland China are in fact Western medicine, Zhen noted. He worked closely with a TCM professor who is highly regarded at home and abroad. This professor treats his patients mostly using principles and methods from Western medicine, but he would apply a pulse diagnosis at the beginning. He told me that the real purpose of his pulse diagnosis is to impress his patients that he is a TCM doctor, Zhen said. His article concludes that the evil CCP has spared no effort in destroying traditional Chinese culture, which has put the Chinese nation in a serious crisis. Nevertheless, heaven is bound to return and punish evildoers. Things will develop in the opposite when they become extreme. And that is what is going on in China here. We are back for our second hour now and having a bunch of fun here. We're looking up all kinds of stuff. Most of the stuff that's in the news today has to do with Biden's stash of classified documents. But they one of them in Breitbart has the headline of Biden's stash of classified documents included materials marked top secret. This is exactly what they got Trump for, except that Trump, when he took the stuff and supposedly brought the stuff to Mar-a-Lago, which is still in doubt, except for in Democrats' minds, because when he got off the plane, got out at Mar-a-Lago, he was empty-handed. There was nothing he was carrying. So that kind of throws a little stash in the end of the Democrats' light. But President Joe Biden's stash of classified documents at the Biden Penn Center included materials reportedly marked top secret. About 10 documents were unearthed at the Penn Biden Center in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday by Biden's personal attorneys. Among those were some marked top secret, according to CBS News. Between the classified documents retrieved from the Biden Penn Center and the documents retrieved from Biden's residence in Delaware on Thursday, the total number of classified Biden stashed is about 20. No top secret documents were reported to be at Biden's residence. It is unknown why Biden's personal attorneys were initially looking for the classified documents in the first place. According to the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, there are three levels of classified information. A, top secret. The authority to classify information originally as top secret may be exercised only by, one, the president, two, agency heads and officials designated by the president in the Federal Register, and three, officials delegated this authority pursuant to Section 1.2D. And B, secret. The authority to classify information originally as secret may be exercised only by, one, agency heads and officials designated by the president in the Federal Register, two, officials with original top secret classification authority, and three, officials delegated with authority pursuant to Section 1.2D. C, confidential. The authority to classify information originally as confidential may be exercised only by, one, agency heads and officials designated by the president in the Federal Register, two, officials with original top secret or secret classification authority, and three, officials delegated such authority pursuant to Section 1.2D. Since the classified documents were unearthed by Biden's personal attorneys, three investigations have opened three entities: House Oversight Committee, House Judiciary Committee, and Justice Department Special Counsel. The probes into Biden's mishandling of the materials come as Biden administration officials have reportedly begun blaming the National Archives for not properly taking care to protect the classified documents in 2017 when Biden left the White House. The investigations will seek to uncover the extent of wrongdoings by whom former Department of Justice Prosecutor Andrew McCarthy argued Thursday that Biden has already admitted guilt. At least of the classified documents discovered are related to the Biden family business ventures in Ukraine. In 2017, Hunter Biden was paid $83,000 per month. Can you imagine getting paid that much money per month? Hell, most of us don't even make half that in a year. But in 2017, Hunter Biden was paid $83,000 per month to be on the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company. Hunter was appointed to the board of Burisma in 2014 with no previous experience in the energy sector or in Ukraine. In 2015, Joe Biden threatened to withhold $1 billion, and that's billion with a B, from Ukraine if the Ukrainian government did not fire the prosecutor who was investigating Burisma. That, my friends, is illegal. In 20, Joe Biden's site visited Ukraine for the last time in 2017 to deliver a farewell address. It was his sixth visit in 7 years. After Joe Biden left the White House, Hunter's salary was cut in half. According to Breitbart News senior contributor Peter Schweitzer, Hunter made massive sums of money from Ukraine for which he offered no real work. Imagine that. No real work for $83,000 a month. Wow. If only we could have it that good on what is going on. I swear. We have found a couple of other things. There's another one here about Carrie Lake. And I think this one came, this one came from One America News. Let me see if I can find that here. Type this in, www.americanewsnetwork. Because when I printed this one out, I chopped off the top of the story. But it's about Carrie Lake's election case. And what it says is the Arizona Court of Appeals has agreed to expedite consideration of Carrie Lake's lawsuit, which alleges that the 2022 midterm election was flawed. We all know it was flawed, folks. The only ones that are telling us it wasn't are the left, the Democrats, the judges of the Democrats. They see all kinds of stuff that is absolute proof to anybody with a working brain, and they say, nothing to see here. Nothing's going on. There's nothing to see here. But it's amazing to watch what is going on when it comes to Biden and the left and the election. They have found so much wrong with what is going on or what went on with that last election. No one seems to want to do anything about it. But here's that story. Carrie Lake's election case expedited. Arizona Court of Appeals has agreed to expedite consideration of Carrie Lake's lawsuit, which alleges that the 2022 midterm election was flawed. The Arizona Court of Appeals has set a date of Friday of February 1st for conferencing on Carrie Lake's lawsuit attempting to overturn the results of the 2022 general election. In an order issued on January 9th, the court ordered a reset of the matter for conference on February 1st, 2023. The report also reportedly agreed with Lake's argument that her challenge should be handled as a special action petition. According to the order, Governor Katie Hobbs, Democrat of Arizona, and her lawyers have until January 17th to respond and make the case as to why Lake's challenge should be rejected. And of course, they'll do everything they can to come up with that reason. Even if they have to make it up, they will try to come up with that. After a Maricopa County judge had rejected her case in December, the Republican petitioned both the state's appeals court and Supreme Court. Earlier this month, the Supreme Court had denied her petition, saying that the lawsuit has to go through the appellate court first. So Lake filed her lawsuit against Hobbs, Maricopa County supervisors, Maricopa County recorder, Stephen Richer, along with other officials. The lawsuit asserts that the county's handling of the midterm election was flawed and that it had disenfranchised Election Day voters. She argued that these issues were enough to sway the election results, and she lost by around 17,000 votes. The lawsuit also claimed that dozens of Maricopa County ballot printers had not worked properly on Election Day, resulting in votes that were in her favor not counting. 42%. That's the percentage of ballots, 48 out of 113, that were examined that were 19-inch ballots printed on 20-inch paper. Our cyber expert testified under penalty of perjury that this could not have happened absent of intentional misconduct. He did so again for our appeal. Lake had hired an independent pollster, Richard Barris, as a witness during the trial. Barris asserted that he thinks the technological issues on Election Day disenfranchised enough voters to have altered the outcome of the contest. He claimed that the majority of the Maricopa Election Day voters tended to be Republicans and that between 25,000 and 40,000 persons who ordinarily would have voted didn't do so because of tabulator and printer issues. Our appeal is scheduled to be heard before the court on February 1st. Do not underestimate Carrie Lake's desire to get justice for the people of Arizona. It doesn't matter how long it takes. She will see it through. And that's from Carrie Lake's War Room. Maricopa County Judge Peter Thompson had thrown out her lawsuit, saying that she did not produce enough evidence to support her claims in December, although he ruled that Lake could not be sanctioned and fined to pay thousands of dollars. A court date for Lake's challenge has been reportedly scheduled for March. And we will keep you informed on this one as we continue to look at the news. And but now we're getting, because of everything that's going on, we're getting the Biden blame game. It's now National Archives' fault. Classified doc scandal intensifies. Joe hires Obama lawyer to handle the investigation. They never learn, folks. They keep pushing the same thing, the same lies. And then when those lies don't work for them, they turn to another one and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going, never thinking that the people are catching on. They're understanding what they're doing. They're understanding what is happening. And it just, this whole idea that because the Democrats are in charge, we must follow their laws, is insane. They think we must follow their laws just because they're in charge. But the laws that we should be following, folks, are the laws of the Constitution and the laws of the United States. They're not Democrat, they're not Republican. They are the laws. They cannot be changed on a whim. They cannot be changed because it doesn't fit your agenda. And that's just exactly what the Democrats have been doing for the last 2 years and longer. Heck, even during the time Trump was in office, instead of falling back and trying to help Trump make America better, they did everything they could to tear Trump down. To hell with the country, to hell with the people that elected him. It didn't matter because it didn't fit their agenda. And this whole idea of these judiciary committees, checking into Biden and Hunter and all of these things is just scaring the living crap out of all of them. And they don't like it one little bit. And they cannot stop and think that, hey, We need to change the way we're doing things. Because they're not. They keep doing the same things over and over again. And they keep doing the same things, not thinking that the people know they're lying. The people know they are lying. And yet, do they change? No, they do not. Now, when it comes to coronavirus, we have got more stuff showing that emails show Facebook suppressed often true information on coronavirus vaccines. And yet another revelation about the level of collusion between big tech and the White House, documents show Facebook not only attempted to suppress incorrect content related to coronavirus vaccines, but also took steps to curb the spread of often true content on the subject. And I've had that happen to me many times, where I'll post something that I know is absolutely the truth, have had it verified by doctors. And if you go in and read my post, there'll be a thing sitting over the top of it saying, we have decided that this is factually incorrect. And you can always click out of it and go to the story, but a lot of people don't. They see that and they think, oh, it's a lie. Okay, I won't even read it. The information came to light through a series of documents obtained by Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey as a part of a lawsuit that accuses the Biden administration of violating Americans' First Amendment rights by colluding with big tech to suppress speech. One email sent by a Facebook staff member to the White House on March 21, 2021, discussed levers for tackling vaccine hesitancy content with a senior advisor on Biden's COVID-19 response team and the White House's Director of Digital Strategy. In the email, the Facebook staffer, whose identity was redacted, of course, acknowledged that in addition to removing misinformation, the company has been focused on reducing the spread of content that discourages vaccines, but does not contain actionable information. The staffer went on to state that this content, though often true, can be framed in a sensational or alarmist manner. We'll remove these groups, pages, and accounts when they are disproportionately promoting this sensationalized content, said the Facebook staffer. In other words, users, groups, and pages were being kicked off the largest social network in the world for not posting misinformation, but because people at Facebook determined that their tone was too sensational. This is just the latest revolution to come out of the multi-state lawsuit against the Biden administration filed by the states of Missouri and Louisiana. Previously, the lawsuit revealed that the administration pressured tech companies to suppress some of the most popular critics of their policies, including Fox News host Tucker Carlson and OutKick host Tommy Lahren. The case is State of Missouri and State of Louisiana versus Joseph R. Biden, number 3:22-CV-01213 in the District Court for the Western District of Louisiana. Folks, you think that a lot of these things are being made up, but they're not. All you people who are Democrats think that all of this stuff I'm talking about is made up. No, it's not. The stuff that's been made up has been what the Democrats have been doing to this nation. They'll make up things just so that they can do the things they want to do, whether they're right or not. And then they get away with little stupid things like Fauci saying, I have no idea what Elon Musk is talking about. I don't use Twitter. No, maybe he didn't use Twitter, but many of his people did. But former NIAID director, Dr. Anthony Fauci, thank God we can say former now, said Friday on Fox News Channel's Your World that he had no idea what Twitter CEO Elon Musk is talking about in regard to the Fauci files. Anchor Neil Cavuto said, I'm just wondering what you made of the world's richest man or the second richest now going after you. Fauci said, quote, I have no idea what he's talking about, Neil. I wish I did. I'm clueless about what he's referring to. He's talking about the Fauci files were supposed to come out last week. Now at the end of this week, I just don't understand what he's doing. And I don't think I should be addressing it because it's just puzzling to me, unquote. Cavuto said, what he's saying is to prosecute Fauci, that if you were, that you were a little too cozy working in cahoots with Twitter, the government, to provide in general response to all of this. But he's never released details of that. I don't know if it's forthcoming. But it's very similar to the kinds of things Rand Paul has said about you in the United States Senate. Some of these House Republican members have said you made a bad situation worse. And Fauci said, yeah, it could, like I said, Neil, I'll repeat it again. I have a great deal of respect for the process of oversight. I have absolutely nothing to hide at all. Yeah, right. All I'll be able to defend is everything. I'll be able to defend everything I've done. So a lot of people are spouting out a lot about the things about me on Twitter. I don't have a Twitter account. I've never had a Twitter account. I don't intend on having a Twitter account. And I've nothing to do with Twitter. So I don't know what they're talking about when they say that. Neil, I just don't. I'm puzzled. Well, if he would look at what he did, he would know what they're talking about. That is the problem we have here in the United States today, folks, is the Democrats constantly get away with saying things that are patently untrue, and they can continue to do it. We'll be right back.
Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at.
As the technology of drones constantly grows, and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies, all in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit. For the past few months, we have not heard from our good friend and mentor, our very own Uncle Bing Fisher, that he has been around, though very busy, starting businesses and trying to get things going where he is. So his show has been put on hiatus for now. but in the coming month or so, we are looking to see him return to CNM as he is about to retire and will give him more time to let us know all the things that he has a good ear for hearing. Bing's mellow voice and his expertise in engineering, along with his love of America, keeps us all informed as to what we should be doing and why the things are happening here in America as they are. The only side that seems to have consequences anymore are the right. The left can do anything they want, then blame it on the right, and always laying the blame where it shouldn't be, and they always get away with it. This has to stop. Listen to our very own Uncle Bing Fisher when American by Design returns soon on Sundays, where America always wins. Okay, we are back. The call number is 646-478-5284. As we go back to the things that we are looking into here, let me see if I can go to, where heck was I? Okay, there I am. We are now looking at the things that are going on in Washington, D.C. And West Virginia's AG, Attorney General Morrissey, says to Newsmax that he's thrilled with the ruling upholding sports ban. A Democratic... Okay, I didn't want to have that. Okay. A Democrat-appointed federal judge's ruling upholding a West Virginia law that requires students to participate in school-sanctioned sports based on their biological sex is a victory not only for common sense, but for fairness, State Attorney General Patrick Morrissey told Newsmax on Friday night. U.S. District Court Judge Joseph Goodwin, who was appointed by Bill Clinton, ruled January 5th that the Save Women's Sports Bill passed by the legislature in April 2021 and signed by Governor Jim Justice did not violate the 14th Amendment rights of an 11-year-old transgender girl who wanted to compete in middle school girls cross country and track, and that it also didn't violate federal Title IX regulations. We were thrilled with the win, Morrissey said, a Republican told Rob Schmidt tonight on the show tonight. Keep in mind that this is a district court judge appointed by a Democrat, and we think he came up with the right decision. So we applaud him in West Virginia. In his ruling, Goodwin, who initially issued an injunction prohibiting the law from taking effect, wrote the legislation was, quote, clearly, carefully crafted with litigation such as this in mind, unquote. The law makes clear definitions of what a biological male and female are, and its reasonings is to make sports fair based on inherent physical differences between males and females. Quote, a transgender girl is biologically male and barring medical intervention would undergo male puberty like other biological males, Goodwin wrote, and biological males generally outperform females athletically. The state is permitted to legislate sports rules on this basis because sex and physical characteristics that flow from it are substantially related to athletic performance and fairness in sports, unquote. Biological males identifying as transgender competing in women's sports splashed across the headlines last year when Leah Thomas became the first transgender athlete to win an NCAA Division I title in any sports in women's 500-yard freestyle at the swimming and diving championships in Atlanta. He should not have been able to do that. But West Virginia is among several states that have passed or introduced legislation to ban transgender girls or women, and that doesn't matter what you think about them. Transgender girls or women are men, period. They're males. That's all they were. They were born males. They will die males. And I don't care what the hell they do to themselves in the process. They will die a male. And Leah Thomas, and I can't remember his actual name, but he is a male, period. We were pleasantly surprised that the judge made the decision, but I want to applaud him because he did the right thing, Morrissey said. He said he is expecting the case will be appealed, and most likely it will. We'll be ready, he said. We're right on the law, and this is something that we should not stand in West Virginia or America or anywhere. And he's absolutely right on this. It shouldn't. It shouldn't stand anywhere because biological males should not be able to compete against a female unless that's what the sport is all about. If the sport is about combining the two and competing the two against each other to see which one is better or which one has the most stamina or whatever, oh, fine, that's great. But if you're in a male sport, keep the females out. If you're in a female sport, keep the males out. And I don't give a damn if the male has said, oh, I'm now a female. No, he's not. He will forever be a male. Period. And all these idiots like Rachel Levine in our government, Richard Levine, he is a male. I don't care what he passes himself off as. He is a male, period. There's no doubt about it. His DNA will tell you everybody exactly what he is. And we have to stop doing this idiocy of pushing that males can compete in female sports if they become a female. Well, they'll never become a female because only God can do that. And God is not doing that. Mankind is, and mankind doesn't have the authority, the know-how, or the wherewithal to do it. It just isn't happening, and it can't. I just found a new article in Western Journal that's kind of scary, if I can get the darn thing to open up. Okay, here it is. It's a headline. It says, warning, the nightmare scenario could see that Kamala Harris served 10 years as president. And the story goes on, says, here's a nightmare scenario for those hoping for a return to competent White House leadership, and it involves Vice President Kamala Harris. President Joe Biden will reach the halfway mark of his first term on January 20th. And for all intents and purposes, has become a lame duck already thanks to his advanced age, which he is certainly showing, and the Republicans taking over the House of Representatives. Who really believes Biden is fit to serve a second term? And the House Republicans gearing up to investigate potential Biden family corruption based on Hunter Biden's infamous laptop from hell, the question is, if he will even be able to finish his first term. That's to say nothing of the special counsel appointed Thursday to look into Biden's mishandling of classified documents from his time as vice president. If Biden were forced to leave office due to impeachment, ill health, or lack of mental fitness, Harris would become president. Mike Davis, the president of the Article 3 Project and a Senate Judiciary Committee staffer, pointed out Wednesday that if Biden were to leave office after January 20th, the day he was sworn in 2 years ago, Harris would complete the remainder of his term and be eligible to run for two more terms after that. Per the 22nd Amendment, if President Biden leaves office after January 20th, 23, a President Harris could run for two 4-year terms, 10 years in total, Davis tweeted. The 22nd Amendment, ratified in 1951, passed in the aftermath of President Franklin Roosevelt's presidency. The former New York governor was elected to four terms as president starting in 1932. He died in office in 45. The amendment placed a two-term limit on the presidency and stipulated that serving more than 2 years of someone else's term counts as a full term. However, serving less than 2 years does not bar that person from running for president twice more. For example, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated in the third year of his presidency in 63, Vice President Lyndon Johnson stepped in and finished the last year plus of that term and successfully ran for re-election himself the following year. He was eligible to run again in 68, but he became very unpopular by that point due to the Vietnam War and did not seek a second full term. By contrast, when President Richard Nixon resigned in 74, over a year after being reelected in 72, Vice President Gerald Ford became president and served the last 2 years, two plus years of Nixon's term. Ford ran for president and narrowly lost to Democrat Jimmy Carter in 76, but had he won, he would not have been eligible to run again in 80 because he already served over 2 years in Nixon's term. The chances of Biden leaving or forced from office before January 20th seem pretty remote. So conceivably, Harris could become president sometime this year and then be eligible to run for two more terms. A Harvard-Harris poll conducted last month shows her as a Democratic frontrunner for 2024 by a good margin if Biden is not in the mix. However, the survey shows her losing to potential Republican nominee Donald Trump by 6 percentage points. She would also lose to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis by 5 points. Of course, we all know, especially after the last midterm election, polls are not ballots, nor the Electoral College tally, so we'll see. But it is possible, if Biden leaves office after January 20th, that the country could be led by Kamala Harris for the next 10 years. Isn't that a scary thing to think about? Wow, that just blows me away on that one. I just can't believe it. It just seems like things keep going from bad to worse as we continue on with the show. We're trying to hard to find things that are going on. But... Let's see, I found another one here just a few minutes ago. I already talked about that. I think I've covered darn near everything that I can find tonight. But we, most of the news tonight, what I've come to find out is that most of the news tonight is about the scandals that is going on with Biden and the things that he is, you know, the documents, and rightly so, because like I said at the beginning of the show, we remember that in September he was saying that Trump had been was completely irrational and completely stupid for doing the things he did, but then he goes and does the same thing and nothing to see here. But this whole idea that just because Trump did it, it's bad, and because Biden did the same thing, it's good, has got to stop, folks. We have got to stop telling people what is wrong as what is right. And we've got to start listening to the truth. Another article that I found is a robber points a .45 at store clerk's head, then three gun-toting customers come to the rescue. This one's a good one. I love it. It happened in Ellijay, Georgia this week. A would-be robber had the tables turned on him during an attempted robbery of a convenience store this week, according to police. Sean Sutton, 39, of nearby Blue Ridge, Georgia, was arrested on robbery charges after the incident, which took place around 6:30 p.m. Monday this week, the LJ Police Department reported. Sutton's alleged attempted robbery would involve the intervention of three responsibly armed citizens, you know, the kind that the Democrats want to get rid of. The intervention of three responsibly armed citizens, a .45 caliber handgun pointed at a store clerk's head, and perhaps most improbably a pair of women's underwear being used as a disguise. Yes, seriously, let's get into it. According to the police, Sutton entered the store posing as a customer looking to buy an energy drink. At the time, there were two customers in the store and one at the fuel pumps. After grabbing the drink, Sutton allegedly pulled a pair of women's panties from around his neck to cover his face. Ah, yes, the perfect disguise. It's also worth noting that unless there was no surveillance presence and no one was looking at him before he donned the mask, video or witnesses likely already caught this guy's face. Being thus disguised, the report said, Sutton went behind the counter, pointed a .45 caliber pistol at the store clerk's head, and demanded all the money. Other shoppers noticed what was going on and quickly got involved. A customer, legally carrying a concealed pistol, produced his firearm and intervened in the robbery, the police reported. The second customer went to his vehicle, obtained his pistol, and returned to assist the first customer in subduing the suspect. At that point, realizing he was quite literally outgunned, Sutton decided it was time to make his exit. As he was attempting to get out of Dodge, police said a third customer, who was also armed, came into the store to help, at which time the first customer warned that the other two off, saying that Sutton had already been disarmed. At that point, the police arrived. Sutton, still trying to flee, had to be subdued with a taser, officers reported. Police arrested Sutton and his wife, Melody, 39, who has been waiting in the couple's vehicle, according to the report. It is possible the wife had waited there to make a getaway faster, although LJ police didn't engage in conjecture. Sean Sutton has been charged with armed robbery, aggravated assault, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, according to WSB-TV. Melody Sutton will face charges of armed robbery, intimidation, and taking control of substance. Should these two be found guilty in a court of law, this incident could probably be logged somewhere in the Why Don't You Commit Dangerous Crimes in Small Towns Constitutional Carry States handbook. I swear, man, people are getting stupider by the day. And the things that we are seeing in the news nowadays, it just really, really essentially just kind of blows me away. Some of this stuff is stuff that novels are for. You wouldn't expect to see some of this kind of stuff in anything but a crime novel or a mystery novel or a comedy. But it keeps happening, and it seems to happen almost daily anymore. We have stories of EVs catching fire and exploding, and people have, and fire departments having troubles putting them out. Government doing the wrong things, and then when getting called on it, say, oh, it's not our fault, it's a Democrat, it's a Republican's fault. They had everything to do with it, even though they're not in power. I don't know. It's been a fun hour, folks. I've got about 4 minutes left of the show. I'm taking a drink of coffee here, which is actually still hot after 2 hours. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I've got one of those little coffee cup keep things hot thingy boo-boobers, and it's pretty neat. Then the other thing that we're hearing constantly nowadays about, and this is one of the saddest things that we can report on in the news, rugby player dies suddenly at age 18. Brilliant young man with infectious attitude. An 18-year-old rugby player passed away unexpectedly in England this week. Logan Holgate died suddenly on Wednesday at the Manchester Evening News reported. The cause of death has not been announced, according to Breitbart. It appeared that Logan was on track for greater things, being set this year to ascend to the reserve team of the Salford Red Devils, a move that would have significantly raised his standing in the sport, Breitbart reported. We hear of things like this, 18 and 19-year-olds, young people who shouldn't even be having problems with their health, dying on the field, football players dying of cardiac arrest at 23 years old. And nobody in the media is asking questions about this, but I have been. Have they been vaccinated? Is this the cause of what's going on? I would wager that most of these young men that are dying on fields that are supposedly healthy because they have that lifestyle, they keep themselves healthy, they exercise, they keep themselves in peak health, are suddenly dying. How many of these people who have been dying have had the vaccine, have had the jab? And on top of that, not only just the first jab, but the second and the third and the fourth that have come along. How many of them have had these? We all know now that they cause heart problems in young people. Who all's dying now? Young people. This is scary, folks. We need to start realizing what is going on, because if we don't, we're going to lose many, 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 many more people. People like this kid, 18 years old, that was the peak of health, a rugby player. This is so sad, people. We have to start thinking about what is going on. We are at the end of the show, and we will be seeing you next week as we delve into the things that are going on. I've been doing about two updates a week now, because it takes a lot of work to get these things out. And I'll try to do more, but I'm doing one on Monday and one on Thursday. And those are the ones that I've been doing lately. And I will see if I can get more done this week, starting on Monday. Tomorrow will be Black by Color only with our own Vincent Brown. And it will be a great show, I can assure you this. And if he's back on Sunday, we'll be American by Design with our own Uncle Bing Fisher. Until next week, God bless you, God bless us all, and God bless Americans. We will see you next week, and have a great weekend. Back next week with the next episode of NWCR Radio, where we work hard to let you know what America has in store and what the Constitution and our laws have to say about it. Stay tuned. Oh, God bless you all.